Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Good morning. Great to be here with you. So we're continuing in our series on our gospel witness. And last week we looked at, Pastor Danny talked about the person of Christ. And today I'm doing part two of that, but I'm really focusing on why did Jesus have to die? See, when it comes to sharing our gospel witness, I think sometimes this question comes up a lot. Why do I need forgiveness? What if I'm a good person? Like, what do I need forgiveness for? But the reality is in our lives, when we look back at it, there's something in us where we have regrets. Whether it's we mistreated someone, maybe we have regrets with how we've treated ourselves. Or even at times where we regret how we've disobeyed God in our lives. See, there's something in us that we know that is not right. We can just look at the world and we can see the evilness and the corruption. I imagine it this way, and it comes to, like, why did Jesus die? Imagine we're in a courtroom, and, there's someone there, a guilty man stands before a judge. Let's say this person murdered someone and has no remorse, would most likely do it again, but this judge just goes, you know what, you're free to go, you're good, no issues here, right? We would say that's unjust, right? So what would we think? Like, we would think of that judge as unjust. It's not right, right? The crime, the punishment doesn't match the crime. So here's the question. If God is good and just, how can he forgive people like us? Most people believe God is loving, which he is. Most people believe that God forgives, which he does. But the Bible teaches that there's also something inside of all of us. And that is our rebellious nature against God. A desire to live our own way and do what we want, where we want to be our own God. And the Bible calls this sin. And sin is not just something that we do, it's something that is in all of us. It's something that we can't fix on our own. And here's the tension. God is just, and he loves us, but he has to also deal with sin. You know, God is loving, and he has a desire to save us all. So how does he do both? In John 3:16, it says, and most of us probably have it memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Why did Jesus have to die? Because being a good person is not enough. We cannot deal with our sin problem ourselves. So God, in his mercy and in his love, sent his son into the world. And so today we're going to be looking at Romans 3, 21 to 26. And I think this verse does a great job of explaining why Jesus had to die. And so let's read together Romans 3, 21 to 26. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through the faith in Jesus Christ to all believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are all justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for who you are and all that you do. God, we thank you that you died on the cross, that our sins had to be made right, and God, you took it on for us. God, we want to give you the praise, and I just pray as I speak today, you'd speak through me, and that you prepare our hearts for what you want to say. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So I think when it comes to sharing our gospel witness, we first kind of have to understand why Jesus died. And so Jesus had to die so that he could remain just while also making sinners right with him. And so the first point we're going to look at is a righteousness that we could never achieve. From verses 21 to 22. So the righteousness of God has been revealed in the moment of salvation history and is made visible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is talking about here is morally perfect character of God, a righteousness that is being clearly displayed in God's saving work. And this is the righteousness by which sinful human beings can now stand right before God, who is the divine and perfect judge. But here's the reality that Scripture makes very clear. No one is righteous on the basis of their moral achievement. No matter how good someone thinks they are, no one can be made right through their merit or through their work. The works of the law are not enough to save, and simply trying to be a good person can't actually deal with our sin problem. Because if salvation could be earned by what we do, then ultimately there'd be no need of God. We begin to rely on ourselves, and we would start to take credit for something that we could not even accomplish. Instead of praising God for his grace, we would start to praise ourselves for our performance and what we actually bring to the table. And when that happens, comparison naturally flows, because we begin to measure ourselves against other people. We begin to say, at least I'm not like that person, or at least I haven't done that in my life. We start, you know, and that kind of thinking is actually not true righteousness. It's actually pride disguised as goodness. If righteousness could be achieved through keeping the law, then the people of Israel would be able to succeed in upholding the covenant. But the reality that we see throughout Scripture is that they're never able to uphold the law. Their failure doesn't mean that God's law is flawed, but rather it reveals how a deep need they really need. Even though Israel repeatedly failed their side of the covenant, God still upheld his part. He was still faithful. So what does the law show us about God's standards? But it also reveals our inability to keep it. It exposes our sin and makes it clear that we can't save ourselves. The law ultimately points to Christ because it shows that we need someone outside of ourselves to rescue us. It reminds us that no matter how good we think we are, we still fall short of God's glory. And it is in that realization that brings us to a place of humility, where we recognize our need of a Savior. Jesus is the one who offers us that salvation, not based on what we've done, but on what he's done for us. Righteousness from God is not something we achieve through effort, but something we received as a gift through faith. The righteousness is not just an abstract idea or a theological concept, but it's something that's found in a person, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus is the visible expression of God's righteousness, and because of that, being made right with God comes through a relationship with Jesus. Now think back to that courtroom illustration that I referred to. See, when a judge gives a lenient sentence to someone who's clearly guilty, the judge is failing to uphold justice, because justice requires the punishment matches the wrongdoing that is committed. And here's the reality we all face. Every single one of us stands guilty before God. We are not innocent. We are justly condemned because of our sin. But this is where the gospel becomes such good news. Jesus Christ has fully satisfied the requirement of God's justice through the sacrifice on the cross. Even so, God in his grace has made a way for us to be made right with him. There's real hope for us, not because of effort, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It is through the blood and through his sacrifice that we are no longer have to stand condemned before God. Because of Jesus, we can now come before him with confidence instead of fear. Scripture tells us that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. In John 3:17, we're reminded that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. He wants to save his people. Jesus died so that we could have salvation. And I think we need to be reminded of grace. Sometimes when sin enters our lives, we tend to hide out. We're like Adam and Eve, and we run, and we hide from God. We think God is angry at us, holding a list of the things that we've done. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to run. You know, and it starts with little things. It'll be like, don't pray or don't read your Bible. Don't have a relationship with Christ. But God doesn't want you to run to him. Be reminded that the Lord died for you, forgiving all sins, past, present, and future. Just come to him. Jesus died to restore that relationship between us and God. So, are you trying to be right with God by what you do or what Jesus has already done? Are you trusting in your performance or are you trusting in Christ? If we're honest, we drift into performance thinking. What we're doing, when we're doing well, we feel close to God. When we fail, we feel distant. Without realizing it, we relate to God based on our effort instead of our grace. But that's not the gospel. Your standing with God doesn't rise and fall with your performance. It is secured through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So when you sin, what is your first response? Do you run away from God or do you actually run toward him? The response, I think, kind of reveals what we believe. If you run away, you may believe God is against you. If you run toward him, you understand what Jesus has done for you. You're not coming to God who wants to condemn you. You're coming to a Savior who has already made a way. You don't come to earn forgiveness. You come because forgiveness has already been paid for. So don't hide in shame. Come in humility. Don't try to fix yourself. Come as you are. Because the same grace that saves you is the same grace that will sustain you. The second point is a problem that we cannot solve on our own, from verses 23 to 24. Verse 23 makes a very sobering statement. No one can claim righteousness based on their own obedience. Paul writes, "For all have sinned, have fallen short in the glory of God." Jewish people understood sin primarily as transgression against God's laws. Yet all are aware that have sinned. The central problem of sin is not breaking rules. It's falling short of God's glory. Sin drives a wedge between humanity and God, separating us from his presence. Only in the light of God's grace can humanity recognize and actually lament against its own rebellion. Seeing our sin is a contrast to God's holiness, and it brings humility and prepares us to receive his grace. Salvation must come from outside ourselves because our humanity, we stand under God's wrath. All humans share unworthiness before God, making us objects of his wrath and his grace. So falling short of God's glory points to our need for redemption, not merely just human failure. The concept kind of goes back to Adam's sin in Genesis 3 when humanity rebelled against God and chose their own way. Right? Humanity's failure is not an accidental result, but a willful disobedience, choosing their own way over God's. See, sin occurs when we try to take God's place, putting ourselves on the throne instead of him. Because of this, the world groans and suffers under the consequences of our rebellion. We face a sin problem that we can't fix on our own. But then verse 24 gives us this hope, that we are justified by God's grace. The word redemption connects to the Old Testament. An example would be the Passover lamb in the Exodus, where God liberated the Israelites from Egypt. But the Passover also points to a greater redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. And so justified means being counted or declared righteous by God. So if people were sinless, righteousness could be earned, but no one actually meets God's standard. And so faith in Jesus is the opposite of trying to be justified on our own strength. Justification comes through faith alone, not by works, not by merit, and not by our effort. Verse 23 shows the depravity of the human nature, but verse 24 shows the hope of redemption. Redemption is motivated by God's grace acting towards sinners in love and mercy rather than wrath. Redemption is made through Christ Jesus, the one who offers salvation. The term redemption in Scripture often refers to ransoming a prisoner or deliverance from slavery. So in the Old Testament, it is seen in God's deliverance from the Egyptian oppressors or when they're in the Babylonian exile. And redemption happens through Christ Jesus alone, defined by his person and his sacrifice on the cross. The problem of sin can only be solved in Christ Jesus. And Jesus willingly offered himself so that we could have life and be made right with God. You know, the way that I can imagine is if we try to do salvation with our own ways, it's kind of like, say you're over a canyon and you're trying to get across and you have to jump it. Yeah, you might make it farther than other people, or maybe you'll fall short than others, but there's that reality that you won't be able to jump across. But Jesus has come and he gives us that way so that we can reach the other side. Jesus is like, I have the way for you, and it's through him. So, have you come to the point where you see that you cannot fix your sin on your own? Not improve it, not manage it, but recognize that you fall short of God's glory. Because what Paul is pressing us to see is that all have sinned, have fallen short of the glory of God. This isn't about mistakes, it's about our condition. It's not that we're almost there, we have fallen short. And until we see that, we will keep trying to save ourselves. We'll try to be better, do more, try to fix our lives, save ourselves. But the truth is, salvation must come outside of ourselves. The law shows us the standard. Our lives shows us that we can't meet it. And the realization isn't meant to crush you. It's meant to humble you and lead you to grace. So what are you relying on right now to be made right with God? Your effort? Your morality? Or Jesus alone? Because verse 24 gives us the hope. Justified freely by his grace, the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You're not made right with God by what you do. You're made right with God by what Jesus has done for us. Justification means you are declared righteous. Not because you earned it, but because Christ paid for it. Redemption means you're bought back, set free from something you can never escape from your own. So stop trying to fix what only Jesus can do. You don't need self-improvement. You need a Savior. And the good news is, he has already come. The last point is a sacrifice that was necessary, verses 25 to 26. So Jesus' blood satisfied God's wrath so that his holiness could not be compromised or in forgiving sins. God's righteous anger against sin needed to be dealt with before forgiveness could be given. In his love, God sent a son to satisfy his own holy wrath against sin. The fundamental problem is not God's wrath. The problem is human wickedness and rebellion. Sin is what brought separationness, brokenness, and judgment into our world. Humanity chose its own way, placing itself on the throne instead of God. But God did not leave humanity in its fallen condition. He initiated a planned redemption right from the very beginning. Jesus Christ wasn't just a last-minute solution and God just reacting that I need to fix this. It was already planned. Before the foundation of the world, Christ was already appointed our Savior. The cross was always God's plan to rescue sinners. Verse 25 speaks of Jesus as a sacrificing atonement through his blood. This points to a public declaration of God's justice and love that is displayed on the cross. At the cross, Jesus absorbs the full weight of God's judgment against sin. And it's important to understand God is the one who initiates reconciliation. The sinner has nothing to offer to appease God's wrath. We cannot fix our condition on our own right. But God, in his holiness and his loves, gives what we never could give. He gives himself in our place. Salvation is not achieved by us. It is accomplished entirely by the work of God. If righteousness could be something through our works, then Jesus died for nothing. But because we could not save ourselves, Jesus had to die in our place. His sacrifice was once and for all. It didn't need to be repeated. This is why we don't do animal sacrifices anymore. Jesus is the final and the perfect sacrifice. And sometimes we struggle with this idea of God's wrath. We'd ask, why could God be so angry? But we must reflect on the reality of sin. The Bible teaches that humanity is deeply broken and sinful. Sin has affected everything in life. It has ruined creation. It turned righteousness into guilt, holiness into impurity, glory into shame, blessing into misery, harmony into disorder, light into darkness. The world was created good, and sin has corrupted it. Everything, even our relationship with God and with each other. Yet, instead of abandoning us, God stepped into our broken world to restore it. The question is, how can a holy God tolerate sin without immediately judging it? Paul's answer is the cross. Jesus stood in our place of sinners. He took the punishment that we deserved. Where we deserved wrath, Jesus said, I will take it. Where we deserved judgment, Jesus said, I will stand in that place. Why did Jesus have to die? Because through his sacrifice, sin was fully dealt with. God's wrath was satisfied. Justice was upheld. And at the same time, grace is extended. Mercy was given. Salvation was made possible for everyone. At the cross, God's justice and God's love meet perfectly. So do you believe that Jesus took the full weight of God's wrath from your sin? Because it's one thing to say Jesus died, but it's another thing to actually understand what it means. At the cross, Jesus didn't just physically suffer. He stood in our place. The wrath that your sin deserved, the judgment that was fallen on you, was placed on him. God didn't ignore sin. He dealt with it fully through Jesus. And this means there's no punishment left for those who are in Christ. Not because sin wasn't serious, but because Jesus has already paid it in full. So are you still carrying guilt for something Jesus has already paid for? Because a lot of us say we believe in the cross, but we still live in like the payment wasn't enough. We still hold on to guilt. We live in shame. We try to make up for our past at times. You cannot pay for what Jesus has already done. To keep carrying the guilt is to forget what the cross actually does for us, what it has accomplished. Jesus didn't just die to make forgiveness possible. He died to secure it. So you don't have to live under condemnation. You don't have to hide in shame. You can come to God with confidence because the wrath you deserved, Jesus took it on him, and it was satisfied in Christ. And so as we come to this idea of why Jesus died, how do we share this with someone? Right now that we have this idea, you know, I think this question can be hard to share with others. Because let's be honest, it's difficult. Some people, you know, when you're pointing out sin, some people actually like living in the darkness. Because if they have to accept Jesus, it means they have to make changes in their lives. Right? And some people might respond by saying, you know, you're being judgmental, harsh, or even unkind. And I think the first step when it comes to sharing the gospel is humility. Jesus teaches to look at the log in our own eyes before we look at the speck in others. And I think that attitude, that judgmental attitude, is the idea of condemnation. We have no right to condemn someone. Only God does. But when we talk about the cross and when it comes to sin, we have to speak as if we're sinners ourselves, and we all are. We have to come to a place that, you know what, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm a sinner as well. I'm not standing above you. I'm standing alongside of you. As people, we are imperfect and in desperate need of God's grace. So when we share about why Jesus died, we kind of have to make it clear. I'm not better than you. I just need a Savior, and I found him. And that's why I'm sharing the gospel to you. That's why we should go out and say, hey, it's Easter, and I'm inviting my friend. The gospel message is not a message of superiority. It's a message of grace. It's not about condemning others. It's about pointing us to the one who's condemned for us. And so I have a little, if you want to go to the next slide, I have a little way for you guys to share why Jesus died. And the first one is the problem. We recognize that we are sinners. We are sinful by nature and by choice, for all have sinned, have fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is not just what we do, it's who we are apart from God. It separates us from God and breaks our relationship with him. Second point is the penalty. God's justice must respond. God is perfect, holy, and just. Sin cannot be ignored without compromising his character. Justice requires that sin has to be dealt with. So if God is truly just, sin cannot simply be overlooked. It had to be dealt with. And through that is through the provision which Jesus took our place. God didn't leave us in our sin. He sent Jesus to take our place. Jesus lived the life we could not live and died the death that we deserved. And on the cross, Jesus bore the penalty for our sin. The cross isn't just necessary, it is loving. And last thing is the promise, justification by faith. Through Jesus, we are declared righteous, not because of what we've done, but because what Christ has done. Our relationship with God has been restored. We are forgiven, accepted, and made new. And so as we conclude, I just want to invite the worship team to come up. So as we come to the end of we kind of return to this question of why did Jesus have to die? He died because we couldn't save ourselves. He died because sin had to be paid for. He died so that we could be forgiven and made right with God. Maybe today you realize that you cannot fix your sin on your own. Maybe you see that no amount of effort or goodness can make you right with God. The good news is this: you don't have to earn it. Jesus has already done the work. He lived the life that you could not live. He died the death you deserved. And today you are invited to respond. Not by trying harder, but by trusting fully in Jesus, turning from your sin and placing your faith in him. You can be forgiven. You can be made new. You can have a real relationship with God. For those of us who have put your faith in Christ, this is a reminder, it's not just information. We are not saved by our performance. We are saved by his grace. So we don't live in guilt. We don't live in shame. We live in freedom. When we sin, we don't run to God. We run to him. Because the cross has already paid it. Let this truth shape how you live. Let it grow in your gratitude. Let it deepen in your love for Jesus. So whether you're coming to Jesus for the first time or coming back to him again, the invitation is always the same. Come to him. Trust in what he has done. Today, if there's something that you need prayer for, I just invite you to come up and receive prayer. And receive the grace that is freely given to you and to me. Father, thank you for who you are. God, we know that we are sinners, but Jesus, you died in our place. You took the wrath that we deserve, the judgment that we deserve, Lord. And in your loving kindness, you showed us mercy and grace. Lord, as we go out and as we share our gospel witness, help us to just reveal that to people, that it is out of love, grace, and mercy. It's not out of judgment or condemnation, Lord. God, we give you all the praise. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.